The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. Democrats and Republicans are out of control. And libertarians, we're doing every single thing that we can to prevent them from wasting money, from restricting basic fundamental civil liberties, from engaging in destructive and damaging wars all over the world. We're doing everything we can using every kind of pressure that we can, whether you're working to run for office, to put pressure on existing candidates, whether you're lobbying for legislation that prevents Democrats and Republicans from invading personal and economic freedom. Libertarians are working to get these guys in line. My first guest today is Claire Ball. She's running for the position of Illinois Comptroller, and she is, as far as I know, the only person who's actually an accountant running for the position. Claire, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Arvind. Thanks for having me.
Now, for the people who don't know what the job of a comptroller is, give me a brief overview. What does a comptroller do?
Sure. It's basically an accounting position. The comptroller is responsible for the record keeping and authorization of payment for the state, while the treasurer holds on to the actual funds and actually cuts the checks. So it's comparable to a corporation's chief financial officer.
Mm-hmm. Now, Illinois is one of the most corrupt states in the country. I mean, whether you are looking at just blatant bullying the way they do with voter suppression and ballot access, whether you're looking at fraud, Illinois has problems. Historically, what is the story? How often has the comptroller in, say, the last 10, 15 years even been an accountant?
I can go back through the whole history of our state, all 197 years of it. We've never had an accountant or someone with an accounting background, a CPA, anything like that in this role. We've never had someone with the qualifications that are demanded in all other areas of business for similar positions. And I want to change that.
Now, let's talk about specifically what are some of the things that you might do differently from the Democratic or Republican candidate. In other words, why should the voter vote for you? What are they going to get by having an accountant in the accountant position, aside from just a generally higher sense of competence?
They are getting plenty if they vote for me. In general, what I want to do is I want to establish clear rules on who's getting paid and why they're getting paid. We do have the check register for the state online, but that doesn't tell us the rationale behind who gets paid. It doesn't tell us why certain vendors are getting paid over others. During this whole budget impasse, there's been a lot of questions coming up as to payments going out the door for Planned Parenthood, payments going out the door for a political blogger, and then our elected officials are coming out and say, well, we can't pay services for those that help the developmentally disabled because we don't have the money. Well, who is deciding who gets paid first and why? I think that there needs to be a lot more transparency. There needs to be a lot more accountability involved in the decision making, not just who's getting paid, why they're getting paid. There's also an independence aspect to it.
For
people who are CPAs, which I'm working towards, and in general, people working in accounting, there's a high level of independence involved in what you're doing. And I think that that needs to be transferred to the role of controller. As a libertarian, I don't care who's doing what or who can do what for me. I care about what they're doing with the people of Illinois' tax dollars and why they're doing it. So if someone's playing funny with our money, I have no problems calling them out on it.
And see, that right there is I think, a very critical difference that people often overlook. In order for Democrats and Republicans to get away with cronyism, to get away with just using basically stolen money on just ridiculous and unjustifiable project, they need somebody to look the other way. And if you want someone to look the other way, that person doesn't need a lot of skill. Anyone can look the other way. But if you want someone who's going to be on our side, someone who's going to say, listen, this money belongs to the people. What are you doing with it? If you want someone like that, I mean, that to me certainly requires quite a bit of skill, or at least more skill than the ability of doing nothing.
I agree. It's laughable when you look at Illinois politics, how corrupt it is, and we need to put in as many safeguards and checks and balances as we can, where I think third-party candidates come in. The more independence you can put into these situations, the less they're going to be able to get away with doing things the same way they've been doing it and taking away our rights and taking away our money.
Let me ask this. You know, we have so many libertarians, people in the Libertarian Party, people throughout the libertarian movement who are skeptical and are going to ask, what are some of your libertarian qualifications? What have you done so far, if anything, to try to reduce and restrict government's role and incursion in our lives?
Well, personally speaking, I've been a libertarian for a couple of years, and I feel very strongly that that limited government is the way to go. So, personally, people can decide for themselves what's best for them. We can decide for ourselves how to live our lives, how to spend our money. I've got the mindset of working for the people. It's not about what the position can do for me. It's about what I can bring to the position and what I can bring for the people. Earlier this year, I ran for the College of DuPage Board of Trustees in DuPage County. It was a pretty heated race, and I didn't make it on the board, but I ran openly as a libertarian, and I brought it up every chance I got. Even though it was a nonpartisan race, people wanted to know, and the more that I talked about it, the more open people were to hearing about it, and and I think it really fueled a lot of discussion about, well, hey, you know, I like you. You know, maybe libertarians aren't so bad. And so I had such a good reaction from that. I had a lot of people telling me that, hey, I really like you. I think what you're doing is great. Keep at it. And so when the opportunity came up to run for controller and I started looking into it, I said, this is accounting. This should be accounting. This should be held by someone with independence. I want to bring that. I want to help the people. The people of Illinois deserve to have someone who's not only qualified but independent watching over their money. So
one of the things that brings up a really interesting point. It's a thing that a couple of the candidates brought up on the show last week, which is when you run for office, you're basically essentially, in addition to the effort and time you're putting in, you're creating a donation of several thousand dollars worth of media and social coverage of libertarian ideas and politics. And that's something that I think is no it's a pretty significant issue. Let's talk a little bit about this, and let's also talk about what's going on in terms of, you know, civil liberties and marijuana dispensaries right after this break. Right now we're talking with Clara Ball. Claire, is the best website for you Clara Ball for Illinois?
Yes, it is. ClaraBallForIllinois.com.
All right, ClaraBallForIllinois.com, and that's the word four is spelled F-O-R, not the number four. Now, here's what we're seeing just across the country. We're seeing more and more people like Claire, some of the other people we're having later on the show this week, next week, last week, who are taking this step and saying, listen, if you want something done and no one else is going to do it, then it's kind of up to you to do it. If you fundamentally believe that Democrats and Republicans are going to suddenly stop trying to grow government, they're going to suddenly stop trying to hand money to their special interest crony capitalist friends, if they're going to stop their, you know, quote, public-private partnerships, if you think by themselves they're going to stop mindless wars that just take bad situations and make them work. If you think they're going to do that by themselves, then here's what you need to do right now. Don't do anything. Just keep doing whatever you're doing right now. But if you believe, as I believe, that they will not behave themselves, that they will not stop this until they are forced to, either through political pressure or through being voted out of office, then you need to do what Claire's doing, what I'm going to be doing, what so many libertarians across the country are doing, which is you need to take matters into your own hands. No one's going to cut government for you. You need to cut government for yourself. And if you're ready to make that happen, you need to get to lp.org/states. And you can see how to get involved in the libertarian campaign in your state. And there are so many things you can do. Let's say you don't want to run for office yet. Let's say you want to first be a part of another campaign. There's so many things you can do on a campaign. If you like accounting, you can work on the treasury side. If you like social media, I mean, God knows every campaign needs people on social media. If you like going door to door and meeting people and all that, you can do that. If you like working at fairs and meeting people at fairs, you can do that. If you want to do outreach to the media, there's so much you can do. I have learned more from the last 3 campaigns that I did. I've learned more from those 3 campaigns in terms of forgetting the politics, even besides the politics, just in terms of the business and media and all those skills. I've learned more in those campaigns without question than I did in 4 years of college. There is no question in my mind that I learned more in that time. And if you're ready to learn more and contribute more than you can ever do in any other way, then go right now. lp.org/states. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. In a couple minutes, we'll be back with Claire Ball. She's running for Illinois Comptroller.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
No matter what your current situation is, you have a unique story to your life. It's a dynamically changing story that requires constant adjustments to lifestyle and environment. That includes your home. As you continue to enhance your living space, you're also making overall improvements to increase the value of your home. Join Laura Minniff each Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time for dynamic insights for your home environment on the Voice America Variety Channel. And start living now.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. Right now we're talking with Claire Ball. She is running for Illinois Comptroller, and she's already actually been part of is currently part of a pretty important process going on in Illinois right now involving medical marijuana dispensaries. Claire, fill me in. What's going on over there?
Oh, yeah. What is going on with the pillar of law? What we're doing is myself and Scott Schluter, who is running down in his district for a local election, we have filed a petition. It was filed a lawsuit against the district court for on the grounds of freedom of speech violation for medical marijuana dispensaries. Because right now, currently, they are not allowed to donate to any political associations. They're not allowed to form PACs. They're not allowed to donate to candidates.
And let me just take one. So what we're saying, and the thing is, you know, people don't understand that, don't always understand the idea that almost every business in the world is allowed to donate to candidates. Almost, you know, alcohol is, cigarettes are, you know, even government employees who have an active sort of conflict of interest. You know, federal government employees are certainly allowed to donate and form PACs and do all that kind of stuff. But you're saying that medical marijuana dispensaries are not allowed to even engage in this basic fundamental part of political speech.
They are not. They are prohibited by law. It was part of the state's medical marijuana pilot program. They are prohibited. And there's no reason... There's no valid reason, considering, as you just said, alcohol manufacturers, cigarette companies, all of them can donate. There's no justification for why a medical marijuana dispensary cannot participate in the political process if they choose to. And it's a violation of free speech. I'm considering libertarians are for the legalization of marijuana. That's a detriment. I could reach out to these dispensaries for political contributions, except they are prohibited by law from donating to me.
Let's look at the other side of this. Right now, we have the alcohol lobby is allowed to donate as much as they want and engage in all kinds of speech, most of which, under the guise of attempting to do something positive, is just there to maintain their monopoly over intoxication. So, for example, when you look at organizations like DARE, which you know obviously opposes many types of legalization, they get huge amounts of money from the alcohol lobby because the alcohol companies don't want the competition. And so now that there is competition, it looks like the alcohol lobbies have said, all right, we'll have competition, but you're not allowed to be part of American politics. Is that a reasonable assessment of the situation?
Yeah, I'd say that pretty much says it.
So now what is the response? Now, what are you and the other candidate able to do? Is it a lobbying thing? I mean, how does this work?
Well, we've brought it up to the courts as we have filed suit against the state saying that it is unlawful, it is a freedom of speech violation, and there's no justification for this ban, for not allowing them to participate in the political process. And we are asking that they change that they allow the medical dispensaries to donate to candidates, to PACs, to political organizations. Just make it fair for, bring the playing ground, even it out, so to speak. You're letting alcohol companies, you're letting cigarette companies donate. what marijuana dispensaries donate as well. We're just asking for fair treatment.
This idea of free speech that is so closely connected, in my view, to some of these ideas of transparency. You know, I think in many ways what we're seeing is that there is a shift going on across not just the libertarian world, but across just the world, which is that people are tired of this just blatant corruption. And thanks to things like social media and all that, people are more and more aware of political corruption. Today, you know, I meet very few people in the libertarian world, and honestly, not that many outside of the libertarian world, that don't think of the phrase public-private partnership as just a euphemism for crony capitalism. I meet very few people that consider the war on drugs to be any kind of a legitimate tactic. I meet very, very few people that are taking anything, any of these increases in government useful, and most of them are calling for huge decreases in government. Now, in terms of what's happening with libertarians in Illinois, what are some of the decreases in government, whether it's regulatory or whether it's, you know, personal or whether it's even economic, that are especially resonating with people in the state?
I've heard from so many different people that there are sick and tired of the bloat that is the government. Most of them just want to be able to work and utilize what they've earned. In Illinois, there is so much, there's so much going on. As our watchdog groups out here have dug into the spending going on, they're finding so much. I mean, Aaron Schock made the news for his extravagant spending on his office. When you've got companies that are cutting costs and trimming debt back just to survive, it's kind of a slap in the face. And I've heard it from so many people when I was out campaigning as a College of DuPage trustee. And I'm hearing it again as I set out on this campaign. There is so much excess, and it needs to stop, and we need to get people involved in government who are willing to stop it, who are willing to say, no, thank you. I don't care what you can do for me. I want to stop what you're doing. We need to be working for the people. And I think it's happening. It's slow going, but we're getting there, and I think 2016 is going to be a fabulous year for libertarian ideas and libertarian politics.
Now, in Illinois, it's also more clear that they, more than almost anyone else, is just very frightened of libertarian ideas. And the reason that I think that is just what they're the way that they suppress libertarian voters, the way that they try to keep the Libertarian Party off the ballot. What is the? I mean, every report I see from Illinois just seems more and more like something that I would expect from, you know, like China, something I would expect from, like, you know, the back in the olden days when the Soviet Union was still alive. I mean, what's the status right now? What are they up to with that?
Well, they have dug their heels quite a bit, and they will fight tooth and nail to keep libertarians and any third parties from being involved. We have had an ongoing lawsuit for years now over ballot access, which is always a struggle, but we make it happen. And it's a fight. It's a fight, and they are not willing to give up. They're not willing to give in. And I think that the more people realize and vote third party, in particular libertarian, but the more the people vote third party, the stronger message they're going to send to the establishment, to the Republicans and the Democrats, that I don't like what you're doing and you have to stop.
What are some of the specific, you know, when I just have heard so many weird stories, what are some of the things that Illinois is doing right now in their just desperate attempt to keep libertarians off the ballot?
Well, we had quite a struggle last year during the election cycle when the Republican camp sent armed private investigators to the door of many people who had signed our petition for being on the ballot. They sent armed private investigators to their doors to intimidate them and get them to sign affidavits stating that they did not sign our ballot. It was blatant use of power to try to intimidate people, and thankfully it backfired on them. Once it came out in the news, people were very much just disgusted by it, by this just blatant misuse of power. But that's just one of many, that's one of the bigger things that they've done to try to keep us down. In general, with ballot access, they make it so difficult. I mean, 5,000 signatures for the Republicans or the Democrats to get on a ballot versus any third party who has to get 25,000 signatures. And it is a guarantee that if we get that, we will be challenged by the Republicans or the Democrats. Mm-hmm. So realistically, we have to collect twice as many, because during the challenge, they will try to knock off enough signatures so that we come under the threshold and don't make it on the ballot.
I want to just summarize. You know, a lot of our listeners, they don't know really what ballot access is like. Here's what happens. In order for the Democrats and Republicans to get on the ballot, they need to collect 5,000 signatures, which is not much, especially given their huge resources, most of which are stolen, but whatever. Then for the Libertarians to get on the ballot, as you say, we need to get 25,000 signatures, which is a lot. But in addition to that, they're going to go and challenge all the signatures in court, saying, like, this signature is valid. No, this signature is false. So not only will that waste a bunch of time and resources, it means that in order to play it safe, we end up getting like 50 or even 60,000 signatures just so that Libertarian voters have a Libertarian candidate to vote for. Democrats and Republicans want to say, listen, if you're a Libertarian, you better vote Republican or Democrat. And to give people that right, we have to spend all kinds of time and resources just for the most basic right in a democracy, which is the right to vote your conscience. Saying that you have the right to vote for a government-growing, money-wasting, civil liberties-destroying Democrat or Republican, those are your only choices? That's not a choice. That's nothing. So, Claire, I mean, I appreciate so much what you've done so far. I really appreciate what you're continuing to do. I hope that your example inspires more and more people. So please continue to do what you're doing. I'm so impressed. And thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you so much. If I could quickly state, anyone looking for more information on me, please go to ClaireBallForIllinois.com. I'm also on Twitter, ClaireBallForIllinois. And I'm on Facebook, ClaireBallForIllinois. Please check me out, drop me a line, and I will be happy to write back.
And guys, I'm right here on our website right now.
Thank you again for having me on your program.
Oh, yeah, thanks for being on here. Guys, right now I'm on Claire Ball's website. I can see it right over here. You can get all the information about her background, her issues, whatever you want to learn. It's right over there, ClaireBallForIllinois.com, also Facebook and Twitter. Right now you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We just finished talking with Claire Ball, and we will be right back in just a couple minutes.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day, we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control, and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. Several months ago, I started hearing these stories in education circles. As many of you guys know, in addition to working in politics, I do a lot of work in education. And I started hearing that there is this guy who had almost like what Snowden did with the NSA, he'd done something similar with Common Core. And I wanted to know more about them. I saw him speak in Louisiana. Saw him talk a little bit about his experiences, talking about the ways in which government corruption, which government just violation of personal security was happening in Common Core. And I was so excited to have him on the show. And he's back on the show with us today. His name is Jason France. And he's going to tell us a little bit about the last election that he experienced. Jason, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now,
so how would you like me to start?
there's so many. You know, let's start with some of the positives. You know, realistically, libertarian campaigns have a hard fight because of just the roadblocks and you know, sometimes just people don't really know about libertarians as much, or sometimes they're people are just outspent. Now, in this last campaign, you were outspent pretty intensely. I mean, what would you say? How badly were you outspent?
Probably multiples of 100 or a couple hundred. I mean, I raised a decent amount. I raised probably 5,000 or 6,000. And this is a position that doesn't have a salary, but there's corporations that have a business interest in the funds that this position controls. Mm-hmm. There were billionaires from out of the state that poured hundreds and hundreds. Actually, for the 8 positions in the state, they spent more than $4 or $5 million. So my 4,000 or 5,000, of which I spent about 3,000, wasn't as, you know, I still got a significant portion of the vote. And
you were
running as a libertarian.
Let's say you were asking at least 100 to 1. What percentage of the vote then were you able to get?
I was able to get 11%. But my opponents were running commercials like 24 hours a day on all the primetime networks. They're running radio commercials. They're sending out mail out that cost $40,000 a pop. And I didn't do any of that. I was just me speaking at different events. And talking about folks and writing things in the newspaper and doing and using my blog and folks that recognized me and knew my work from the past couple of years. So I think I did pretty well.
There's something that needs to be said over there, because if people are spending hundreds of thousands on an unpaid position, all that campaign money that's businesses investing in, you know, a political crony, basically.
One business had seven, or at least seven PACs, and he ran a super PAC as well, that all donated the maximum amount to one of my opponents. And you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And there are finance laws that are supposed to restrict that, but it doesn't actually work. If you have enough money, there are ways and loopholes around that. And what happens is you have even billionaires from out of state come in and buy your local elections and put folks in place that will basically export your dollars to their coffers. And that's what's happening.
Now, here's the really tragic part of this is that when you invest money, you expect a payment on that money. You don't invest $1 million and you're just planning to get back at least $1 million, realistically a lot more. So all that money, yeah, you know, people are saying, well, it's their money. Why do I care if they can spend their money on whatever they want? That's true. You know, as a libertarian, I agree. Yeah, you can spend your money on whatever makes you happy. But this is money that they're going to get paid back. And it's not the candidates.
Yeah, this is something I don't know what the solution is, because I understand the argument. I've talked to some libertarians like, you don't want to put restrictions on spending money. You know, it's your money. You should be free to do that, free speech and all that. And I understand that side of the argument. The other side, though, is this position is responsible. This board is responsible for $18 billion in disbursements of taxpayer funds.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to get their money back and then some. And on top of that, they can find ways to allocate even additional funds and more taxpayer funds. And a lot of folks don't understand that. So we have this huge drain of money that we've allocated from taxes to go to a specific role or thing. And it's being hijacked by billionaires from outside the state. And it's difficult to get that message out there without, you know, people that are willing to. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's out of control. I don't know what the solution is. I think I understand the problems. I'd be willing to discuss it, though, but that's how I see it.
Now, let's talk about some of the problems that you saw or for that matter, continue to see in Common Core. You know, what are some of these things that inspired you to want to run to try to limit this program?
Well, it's flawed, for one thing. It's a huge government program designed by a few folks. It wasn't tested. It wasn't tried out. It's like, here, this will be automated all workforces and everybody should have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't give anybody any kind of control, local control authority to alter it or change it in any way. It's also geared toward a lack of innovation and thought. And creativity, which I think is the cornerstone of our society and our success in the world. It hampers a lot of that in my experience. I have a kid, a child in public schools in first grade and third grade. I've seen it, seen what's going on. There's flaws in it, and it's government control, basically. And it's done that through crony capitalist, that's a Freudian slip, I guess, there, ideas, where it's, you have these corporations and testing companies that really want a piece of the tax dollars. And so they're willing to buy legislators and force this stuff down people's throats, because in the end, it ends up in their pockets in the form of different education initiatives. It doesn't actually help kids. It doesn't actually improve our standing. But it is a way for politicians to pay back their donors.
And, you know, speaking as a teacher myself,
I wanted to get involved is because to put a stop to it, to show what's going on. I'm a parent. I've seen it. You know, this is the problems with it. Everybody else on our board didn't have anybody that had kids in public schools that was actually could say firsthand what the problems are up front. And it was making policies that would affect them. They were, you know, folks that were making policies that didn't affect them, and they were actually profiting from it. One of, several of the Bessie members were employed by folks that were getting money from these initiatives.
You know, it's, you know,
like
I think that most it's mostly parents and teachers, you know, parents like yourself, teachers like me, that are just so on the ground and seeing how insane this program is. Like, we can see how bad it is, especially, you know, parents who have like any kind of a math background are just like, what the hell is this? Or, you know, math teachers that have any experience are just like, stop doing this. This is, you know, I wouldn't say it's bordering on abuse. It's just abuse. It's just regular old scare people a lot so that you can take their money.
And it's not actually, our scores nationwide have actually decreased the first time in 20 years that we've seen that in our national. We already had national standards called NAEP, and this was put forward as a way to have additional national standards. I don't know why we need an additional set. But anyway, we've been tracking it for 20, 30, 40 years, I think since the 70s. We haven't had a decrease nationwide. In all the states that had Common Core and implemented it first, they had some of the biggest declines, especially in math. And we had been on a steady incline prior to that, but this is the first time we've had a report, because they do this every 2 years. The last one was 2013. Now we have it in 2015. They implemented it in 2012 and 2013. They have a fourth and eighth grade test that they take. Now we've seen a decrease. They're actually trying to say this is because, well, maybe it's because we have Hispanic children in our country and they're bringing down the scores. That was actually, like, that just happened in the last 2 years or something, I guess. That was actually their excuse. That Common Core was introduced 2 years ago and is now causing our scores to decrease and it'll cause greater decreases in the years to come. That's ridiculous.
And you know, there's no question what the cause is, and in my mind there's really, you know, a lot of different ways to solve this. I mean, at the basic level is just get the federal government, get the people who don't know how to do addition and subtraction, as we can see from their finances, get those guys out of the math business. Math isn't necessarily hard. But it's harder than that.
Well, I mean, we don't have politicians that the way this is set up. And like I said, I don't know the solution and I understand the problems. And we don't have people that are responsive to the everyday taxpayers. We don't have a political system that does that right now. You get, like, my campaign was completely funded by hundreds of people that gave me $10, $20, $25, $50. My opponent's campaigns were funded by super PACs that got $800,000 and $750,000 from Michael Bloomberg and the Walton family, the Walmart heirs, and Eli brought billionaires. They got all this money from that. And I got mine from actual Louisiana, you know, moms and pops and teachers in our state. So that there's a huge disparity. And the people that I would owe my allegiance to, all the people that I serve in my district, in my state, they owe theirs to the billionaires that gave them all this money, ran their entire campaigns, formed it, all that kind of stuff.
Not
just with these races, but with races nationwide. I mean, this is just a small sample of it.
Yeah, is just unbelievable. I mean, the fact that kind of corruption continues to exist, it's not unbelievable. I mean, from just a political standpoint, but I think that more and more people are just starting to reject it. I mean, the fact that you got 11%,
it's becoming, you know, out of control. I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of money that you can spend and it comes in now. And not only that, these folks, we don't have really a media that actually puts censors any of these folks or calls any of these guys to task. We had super PACs that were running commercials that were complete fabrications and pretending to be news stories, like on like news channel flash break-ins, talking about criminal activities and all this other kind of stuff. We had people that were just bald-faced lying about tons of stuff. They were splicing videos together from different sections to make it look like people were saying things they weren't. Nobody called them on that. They just put out all these lies, and with their millions of dollars, people bought into it. It's outrageous, and we don't have a media that would say, hey, you know, it's not just that this is misleading, it's completely untrue and this shouldn't happen.
Let's talk about that right after this, because I want to talk a little bit about the media parts and some of these next phases. Right now we're talking with Jason France. Jason, you just ran for, what was the name of the position?
It's called BESE, which is another problem, BESE. Mm-hmm. It's basically the state school board, and we have eight elected and three appointed positions.
Okay. It's called BESE, which is the state school board. We're going to talk to him a little bit more in just a couple of minutes, specifically about the media influence on this race and what we can do to change it.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
The schizophrenia community faces tough challenges every day.
The community includes individuals living with schizophrenia, their partners, parents, children, siblings, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and also their providers of healthcare and social services. To hear Dr. Gordon Atherley introduce members of the schizophrenia community who are sharing their experiences, tune in to Schizophrenia Community Radio every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news. Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing. How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. Right now we're talking with Jason France. He just ran for the position, which in Louisiana is called BSEE, and it's basically the state school board. And we saw in the last segment just the amount of corruption that's going on. You know, people trying to spend hundreds of thousands to buy legislators so that they can then have a piece of, well, your money. They're trying to buy people who will then give those businesses your money. We have Jason, who tried to put a stop to it. Jason, I want to talk a little bit about the media coverage. I mean, you know, on the downside, the media often covers the non-libertarian candidates, the big government candidates more. But on the upside, they still will often cover the libertarian candidates who want to cut government quite a bit. What did you see in terms of media coverage and all that during the race?
I got covered, I think, and I think I stood out because I was a libertarian, in fact, in the coverage, because they would list that there were four candidates running as Republicans and one candidate, Jason France, running as a libertarian. So it might have actually helped me stand out a little bit from the pack in that sense. I don't think it was very unfair for the most part. There were a few folks, well, for instance, there's some media organizations and groups that will only have events for Democrats or only have host events for Republicans to speak. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a libertarian equivalent. We don't have that many that are running. So there were some forums where they had, since there were four Republican candidates, all of my opponents would speak at, and I didn't have a chance to say anything. And those were televised and they had things like that. So, I was at a disadvantage there, but in terms of just the general media, I was okay. Some other types of media didn't give me a lot of airtime or talk about me very much because they based their coverage on who was an important person based on fundraising. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have fundraising set up early on, then it's harder to get more bylines, to get more snippets and in various other publications and political analysis blogs and things like that. So it was, it's kind of a mixed thing. I was attacked several times in various sources too, which was kind of funny. Actually probably helped me because a lot of the things they attacked me on were things I wanted them to attack me on, because it differentiated me. And I also found that one of the problems though is we didn't have any, there were no referees either. And there were no fact checkers in our election. There may be at a higher levels, but my opponents, at least one of them was, a couple of them were free to claim my entire platform, but say they were Republican, it was running on local control and running against Common Core when they were supported by folks that were against those principles. All the funding came from folks who've been fighting against those for years, 100% of it. And they were, but that was their platform because they knew that would sell. So I think we're on the right track as a party where we're actually appealing to what people want. The problem is getting folks to understand that these other people with all the money are just saying that, but they're window dressing. They're not going to follow through. And I'm going to try to hold them to account this cycle. So I'm getting all of their ads, and I'm recording their commercials, and I'm going to YouTube them. I'm going to YouTube all their mail outs and everything. And I'm archiving some of their web pages. So I, you know, hey, they ran on these. Why aren't they following through with them?
Interesting. So. Now, that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to seeing because, you know, politicians bank on that the populace is going to have a short memory. They're going to say, I'll just lie right now. And then when no one's paying attention.
I know. It's so bizarre seeing it up close. And I'm like, you're lying, though. I mean, it would never occur to me. But, yeah. So I'm going to see if that works because now it's a lot easier with technology. They would say different messages. And I know this can happen PR guys would tell me I could do this. They send different messages to different groups. So they say, oh, this person's against this to the Republicans, and this person's for this to the Democrats. And to the undecideds and independents, they can say something completely different. And because it's based on how they've registered with, your Secretaries of State or your Elections Commission, you'll never get the different messages crossed that way. So still, unless people compare notes, you don't know that they're saying the completely opposite things to everybody out there. So you get that together, and you can paint a picture. Our election cycle is compressed to a month. So it's difficult to gather all that information, stitch it together, and show people. But I will be able to do that after the election's over, which I'm doing now.
Now, let's look at the – I want to look at the numbers from a different angle real quick. Just before we run out of time, and to provide a little encouragement for folks who are considering running. You got about, say, like, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 of spending or donations or whatever. But how much would you estimate – if you were going to buy the amount of media coverage that you brought to these libertarian ideas, how much would that have cost if you could approximate?
I don't know, about $40,000 to $50,000, I think.
So right over there, I mean, that's like essentially that's like a donation of $40,000 to $50,000. To the ideas and principles of liberty. I mean, that's right over there. I mean, that's like a pretty substantial amount of money that we bring to that. And I want to talk about
every article that ran, it was like, and libertarian. So it was, and you know, it posted, they wrote about my platform, my stance. So, I mean, it was, and it showed up in a lot of different papers constantly. So I think that was pretty good. Getting that out there. Folks see us out there. But anyway, go ahead.
So I mean, that right there, I think, is just so important. There's so much that when you run for office that you bring to the cause of liberty, that you put more pressure on people. I mean, you already saw one of the people adopted basically your platform. Now we're going to hold his feet to the fire and see if
campaign signs.
Even copy your
game. Side by side. That's pretty funny. And his name was the same as mine. His name was Jason also. He just appeared one letter higher on the ballot. I don't know how they did that, but yeah. So it kind of looks like me a little bit too. It was pretty weird.
Interesting. Anyway, Jason, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, but also for the amount of just focus and attention that you've brought to the issues with Common Core. I mean, realistically, I mean, maybe advertising is a lot cheaper in Louisiana. I don't know, but from what I saw, I think you actually probably brought a lot more worth of advertising to the libertarian cause and the Stop Common Core cause. I think it would be at least another. I put at least another zero on that, but you know, maybe things don't cost as much in Louisiana. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't afford very much with the money I raised, but you know. I got some signs out. I got some mailers and things and for things to hand out for people and all that kind of stuff. So it was good. I got the message out.
Awesome. So. And if somebody wants to find out what you're doing in terms of your, what you're writing in the blogs, what you're putting out, when the information about the candidates breaking their promises comes out in a couple months, where should they go?
Mm-hmm. My blog is crazycrawfish.wordpress.com. So www.crazycrawfish.wordpress.com. And that's where I've been writing for about 4 years.
Awesome.
I might migrate my site to something similar, but it'll forward. And it'll have Crazy Crawfish in it. So
awesome. All right, Jason, thanks so much for being on the show today. And thank you for listening to the show. There is so much great work going on with libertarians across the country. And if you want to get involved, you got to get to lp.org/states. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Arvin Voris, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.